Well, good evening and welcome to this latest episode of the Forever Bristol City podcast. Dean said before the game, I'd fancy this against anybody. Did he get a response? Did he? There we go. And six defeats in a row. Final score. It was awful. It was flat. I know it's an empty ground, but it finished City 0, Reading 2. Yeah, you can't describe. It was, without the goals, a continuation of where we were on Saturday. Joining me early doors are Les, Mark and Dave Fevs. Ian's off doing his other commitments, a bit like Gary Lineker when he does Match of the Day, but he's allowed to do BT Sport as well. Let me come to each of you in turn very quickly. I'll ask a very simple question for a yes-no answer. Les first. Dean Holden, dead man walking?
I'd like to think he is, but I don't think he is just yet.
No. Mark, dead man walking?
Yeah, and Aston or Lansdowne, Von Villains, which will be the man with the Holden gun?
Very good. Yeah, you said you'd get that one in, but I'll give you 10 out of 10 for that. And Dave, yeah, thanks for telling somebody to stop typing, whoever that was. Dave, dead man walking, or do you think he's got another life or more?
I think, yes, I do, but I think Steve won't want to do it after going on radio yesterday. I think he shot his bolt yesterday by going on too soon. So,
yeah. Talking about shooting their bolt, and it's Tossers Day being Pancake Tuesday. I switched over at half time. I started watching it on Robin's TV, and then ended up watching it on the Sky Red button. But Peter Trago, had he been decorating or tossing pancakes or something? But did you notice the white marks he had on his right thigh? You know, put a decent pair of jeans on. Put a decent pair of jeans on, mate. If you're gonna come on television, for goodness' sake, you know.
I didn't know. I didn't realise he got that excited during our games. I mean, it can't be.
Well, there you go. No, it was there before. I think it was paint because it looked dry from where I was sitting. But as I say, I switched over at half time and went on the red button, and the commentator there, he'd obviously been well briefed by most of the people on OTIB because he was very scathing and saying a lot of things we sat on there, so at least he'd done his own work. Ian's popped in the studio. Ian, I'll ask you the question I asked everybody with a straight yes no answer. Is it dead man walking for Dean Holden after that? It wasn't six, it could have been three or four, but they kept it. You know, he'll turn around and say we did a good second half. So is he walking? Ian. Oh, well, I don't know what's happened to Ian there.
Gary Lineker's given him a few packets of walkers. Right. That's what it is.
Let's get into the lineup. I'll come to you first, Dave. The lineup. What was it? People were a bit unsure. Hunt obviously was the full guy who got the unwanted left side wing back, full back, whatever you want to call it. How did you view the shape of the side, Dave, when you saw it?
I don't think it really mattered what shape we put out. I think when you go out to a game and you say, I'm picking my experienced players, I think you're doing the same as I'm picking my trusted players. And where do you go after that? You leave yourself with nowhere to go. So, and I think when you start picking teams based on experience, you're throwing out all of the good stuff around whether people have played well or whatever. And I think it shows that you've run out of ideas, and I kind of didn't really give a monkey's how the team shaped up today because it didn't matter.
You were just picking up on some of the comments that he'd been saying then, yeah? And just his pre-match didn't inspire a great deal.
Yeah. If you say that, you're basically admitting you've run out of ideas.
Yeah.
You know, I said before the game, when you start talking about tub thumping and, you know, we've got to do this, we've got to look ourselves in the mirror, let's actually hear tactically what you want to do. Well, that's what the players want to hear. They don't give a monkey's whether you say, come on, we've got to get out there and do things. That means nothing to them. And it showed that, unfortunately, I think his time has run.
Yeah. It's the last words of a drowning man, isn't it? I think you probably call it.
Yeah, yeah. Now, somebody said we're breaking up a bit on here on one of the things.
Fine from my end.
Yeah, it's fine. Yeah,
it's fine from my end. Yeah.
You can all hear. So apologies if, Goose, you're saying we're breaking up. Tell everybody well done for trying. Okay, Ian, can you hear us? Are you somewhere else at the moment? Yeah, you're listed as connected. No, I don't think Ian is there, even though he's listed as connected. Les, did you any surprises in the starting lineup for you? Were you happy? Were you expecting it to shape up like that with Lansbury, Nag, and Pato in midfield? That is expensive, but as Ian said to me at half time, they couldn't fight their way out of a paper bag. Those three.
No, I thought it was pretty much what I expected. I didn't think Taylor would be playing at left back again. I thought it'd be either Hunt or Viner filling in, and they put Hunt there, but. You know, as Dave said, it's all well and good picking a team if you've got no tactical nous and you're obviously not giving a team clear instructions apart from get the ball, hit it long, hope Fan wins a header and see what happens. You're not going to get anywhere, are you?
So that's the only justification. Yeah, the only justification for putting Diju in. Mark, I mean, did you feel Fam keeping his place? You know, you could have dropped either of them, really, couldn't you? And maybe tried Naki in that central position. What did you think of the lineup?
It was, I mean, like you said, I mean, it's like, you know, somebody's going to get the black spot, aren't they? And they're this week's left back whipping boy or left wing back. So, yeah, I mean, it could have been anybody. Thank God they weren't Mariappa, but and I suppose Hunt did his best apart from his defending for the first goal, which was awful. But I mean, yeah. it was a line of five. That gradually got deeper and deeper, and that's what, you know, where we got into trouble. We just didn't have anything to affect the game, and yeah, really 2-0 could have been 5-0 really for all City did. It wouldn't have made any difference.
Spence made a couple of saves, didn't he? I mean, Dave, I thought the first 20 minutes we competed to a point, didn't we? Didn't you think that? And we got stuck in. We conceded 22 fouls today, which must be a record, 4 players booked. But did you think there was any promise despite your pre-kickoff dejectedness? Did you thought we did okay in the early stages?
I think you started off with the right comments that we tried to compete and we tried to get our foot in. Lansbury, a couple of first-time balls, ran a corner that Wells kind of went, I think he pinged him over the top of the right-sided centre-back as well. And that looked to be our only real hope. But it petered out around about 25 minutes, half hour.
It did.
And it did. And I don't know whether that's a lack of fitness, that we can't actually close the ball down for long enough. But it was on the cards, wasn't it? I think it was it Elise went through and Hunt cleared off the line, and there was a couple of other skirmishes. And
it's going to happen. Hunt, as you said, Hunt was off the line on 36 minutes. Les, I mean, the first goal, silly little foul by Naj over on the touchline. I mean, it was the player was facing out. He wasn't in a dangerous position, and Naj almost threw. I think the bloke played for the foul, but it was a well struck free kick. And it went over Hunt's head. And yeah, he just showed the power to go past Taylor Moore, didn't he? I mean, it was poor defending or good anticipation by Yao?
Well, I think it was good positioning by Yao. But I think Mark said a minute ago that I think it was Hunt who was a defender at the near post. And he's obviously misjudged the ball and got under it. But at the same time, Joe, I think, has taken a touch in the six-yard box and then smashed it in. And, you know, you shouldn't be allowing a striker, you know, at any level to take a touch in the six-yard box. Maybe he was just too strong for whoever was marking him, but it was basic stuff. I mean, you don't expect to concede goals like that at this level. And, you know, I actually thought for the first 15 minutes, we had quite a good defensive shape. We weren't obviously threatening in any way at all. And that just undoes the hard work. And as the game goes on, we then build in confidence. And
It's interesting you say who was marking Lucas Yao, because, you know, who was marking him? And if it was anybody, it should have been the strongest defender we had, which was Callas. And maybe more about him as captain later. But I'll bring you in, Ian. We're on the first goal at the moment. Unnecessary foul. Not in a particularly dangerous position, but it was whipped in well. Sloppy goal to concede the first one, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, Naj gives away a ridiculously stupid foul in the midst of a ridiculously stupid performance from our midfield. Mm. He'd obviously said, right, you've got to go out, you've got to get your tackles in, you can't, you know, you can't pussyfoot around. So he sent people out there to do jobs they couldn't do. None of our midfield can tackle their way out of a wet paper bag.
Yeah. I gave you credit for that comment before you came on, Ian, but you're absolutely right.
Well, and we gave away, wait for it, 24 free kicks tonight. That's a free kick every 3 and 3/4 minutes.
Yeah, Yeah, and four players booked.
Four players booked, and hopefully, I hope the reason that Mark Ashton hasn't come on board, and I was given come out from hiding. I was given a interesting theory on that I'll share with you later on.
All right,
and that's is that he's actually out talking to a professional experienced manager with promotions on his CV and quality, because that we cannot give Dean Holden another game as manager. The same with the coaches. Terrible goal to concede. Yeah.
So you, in answer to the question I asked right at the top of the podcast, dead man walking, you're in the yes camp without question. Yep.
Oh, I was in the yes camp 2 weeks ago. But yep. I mean, his position's completely untenable. There is nothing good we haven't got. You normally look at a side and you say, like QPR, they're a good attacking side, but they can't defend very well. Yeah. Or you look at somebody like Warnock's teams, like when he had when he's got Middlesbrough and he had teams before that. They're not great going forward, but they can really defend and they dig in. Yeah. And we haven't got anything.
We haven't got a
midfield player who can pass. We haven't got a defender who can defend, and we haven't got a forward worthy of name, because the service they get is terrible.
That's it.
Sorry to rant, but there we are.
No. Look, there you are. No, I say you did join. We'd already mentioned the number of fouls. It was 24. You were obviously keeping a better count than I was.
They're nothing fouls, though, Dave. Sorry, just to chip in.
Yeah, they were nothing.
It was wrestling, wasn't it? They just tried to wrestle. That was what they tried to do.
Let me come to you, Mark, for the second goal, and I'll come to each of you for the second goal, because it just about sums City up. Their defender Morrison went on a mazy run. He took a flick from Lucas Yao, which could have been a foul as well, because I think it was Viner clattered into the ground. But Morrison just kept on running, and I think there was two defenders by him when he very skillfully dinked the ball over Bentley. It was a good finish, but he nobody stopped him. He just ran through unchallenged, didn't he? Is that how you
scored? He played a 1-2 with Yao, who had his back to goal. He was almost on the ground when he played it back to him. But all Morrison wanted to do, all he had in his mind, was getting onto that ball. And he brushed past Viner. Mariappa tried to tackle him. He brushed past him and he put his foot in. And I think it may have come off Bentley and just flicked over the top of him.
Yeah.
But he was just so determined to get in there. And both their centre-backs, both him and McIntyre, wanted to go forward, similar to Sheffield United in a way. They were both given license to go forward, and Reading did that all evening. You know, the front three midfielders bring the rest into play, and they find the space.
No,
and it's nice to watch.
We looked like a second division, a first League One side.
We could have been hammered tonight. There was one thing that I picked up on the commentary. It was after 24 minutes. I think the commentator said, "City are chasing shadows, but keeping their shape."
How did you see that second goal, Les? I mean, it summed up City, really, didn't it? That, you know, nobody ran with him, nobody challenged him, half-hearted tackle on Yao, he couldn't stop him getting a flick. It was a typical Bristol City goal to concede, wasn't it?
I think that goal sums up or shows a side that are completely devoid of any confidence at all. The way a centre-back who is a bit of a lump, Morrison, he's not, you know, I don't think a ball-playing centre-back, just walks straight through without a serious challenge, says the players have, what's the word? They've not given
Packed
up. Because they don't give up. They've subconsciously lost confidence. And unfortunately, it doesn't help. You've got Nagy in there and you've got Lansbury, neither of whom are particularly physical ball-winning midfielders. And I don't think that would have happened if Joe Williams was playing, but he's not. So I just think it was just a complete sign of a lack of confidence in the side, to be honest.
Yeah. Dave, the commentator said, that this was the Robins TV commentator, said a big half-time team talk required by Dean Holden. what does he say? Because, you know, it's sort of you're 2-0 down, two goals in 3 minutes. Well, you've played football to a reasonable level. What would the atmosphere have been like in the dressing room? Do you think it was flat before they even went out, and it would be even, you could hear a pin drop in there? What do you think?
I kind of said it at the start, Dave, that if you kind of rant and rave and, you know, give it, you know, come on, lads, we've got to do this. Professional footballers don't want that. They want instruction. They want to be convinced of what they're going out there to do. Mm. You know, and I can only imagine, the only tactical instruction I could imagine they got at half time was, let's kick the ball as high and hard as we can at the second half. That seemed to be a deliberate ploy for about the first 6 or 7 minutes, and then it settled into it. But I don't get how we can let a team play up to the halfway line without any little pressure. And that's, you know, normally I'd be moaning about Zizou, and I'm not, because it's pure time. They not only do they get to the halfway line, they get to the halfway line facing forward with their head up. There's no pressure on them at all across the team. And you could do that against any team, and you'll basically you just get absolutely whooped. You know, it's poor. It's all right being in shape, but if you're being passed around and passed through, that shape means absolutely bugger all. And we tried on Saturday, and I went on the pod on Saturday, but for me it didn't matter whether we played a 3-man midfield, a 4-man or a 5-man midfield. If you don't put pressure on the ball and you don't engage the man on the ball, you get passed around, because the players in the opposition teams are good enough to just do that. And they did it today. Reading strolled that game today. They broke that first gear.
No, I think you're right. And when they did, they whizzed it round a few times. I mean, Ian, second half, as Dave's just said, Reading controlled it. They put in, they had a number of chances. Estevez had a shot that was blocked for a corner. Then from that corner, McIntyre's flick was knocked behind by Bentley. And he's let in 8 goals the last 2 games. I don't blame him for any of them. But the second half, there was no response worthy of the name, was there?
No. And like I said, we are a side that is without ability. So we've got nothing going for us. We're not a big physical team. We're small. We're weak. We've got no confidence. We haven't got a pass. We haven't got a throw in. A couple of things tonight. Viner gets wide on the right. He's in 10 yards of space. He boots the ball into the Lansdowne. Completely misses the penalty box. We get a free kick. Wells got brought down. Lansbury says, give it to me, lads. Whips in a free kick, straight out of play.
Yeah.
No, that to
good
me.
Good area. Completely... You
get all week, or at least a few games, or for God's sake, if we can't get on the grass, you know, this excuse about, oh, we've got a lovely training ground, but we can't get on it. Well, we haven't had a lovely training ground for the last 4 or 5 seasons.
No, that was one of the points I was going to make. This business about, oh, we haven't got a training ground. We had the old training ground when we were beating Manchester United and 48 points on the block with 23 games played three and a bit years ago.
Yeah, and the problem is, Dave, that it seems to me that there's no confidence, there's no character, there's no identity. There's no method of play. There's no team shape. And the players don't. There is absolutely nothing there.
And
the only thing you can do is change the manager and coaches, because you can't change all the players. They're under contract.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, you've got your list there, hopefully, and we'll come on to that later as well.
Okay,
I mean, look, I don't want to do marks this evening, because that's just going to be, it's a paper exercise and it's a bit of a waste of time. What I do want to do is 2 things. We want to talk about that Lansdowne interview on Radio Bristol. Yeah, we'll do that. And then we'll talk about the undoubted speculation that is going to go on concerning Dean Holden. I just want to, we've got loads of messages on here that people want. I said people to write in. Some Tim Bailey, he said, will the big man stand up and make the call, sack Holden and Ashton, and put us out of our misery? I expect nothing will happen. We'll slowly drop down the league, putting on another fest. And it's like a slow motion car crash, which I agree. We can all see it. Lansdowne will not be able to admit or accept he made another awful mistake. Well, look, that's that. There's a load more messages on here. Yeah, somebody said forget marks, Dave. We've done that. So well done there. Anything else there worth talking about? Guy Maggio said, just got to get to the end of the season with what we've got. Let each and every one of those out-of-contract players go and allow a new manager to shape his squad. And Bielus put on there, hope it's not Michael Appleton. And as some people say, what, Michael Appleton who steered Lincoln to the top of the division? Maybe that's who
were they in the Championship, Lincoln?
No, they're not. No. But it's taken – but then – Paul Cook, if we're talking names, he's not taking anybody up. But and Michael Appleton, he's a mate of Mark Ashton. So that gives him the nice human credentials to get the job. Les, have you heard the Lansdowne interview? I played it back out this morning. Have you heard that at all, or being up in
London? No, I did. I was actually quite surprised. I thought it was a lot more forthright than he was when LJ or Lee Johnson was going through a similarly bad run. And the thing I found most interesting was the first question that he was asked, where, you know, does Dean Holden have your full support? And what I found interesting was he didn't say yes. Do you know what I mean? Whereas with LJ in the past, he's been very supportive. He said, I'll give him time. I didn't get any sense of that at all with Dean Holden. And he sounded thoroughly pissed off to me.
Yeah.
He threw Holden under the bus, didn't he?
Yeah,
if I was Dean Holden listening to that interview, I would be thinking I've got no support whatsoever from that.
Well, he didn't even have any players supporting him for the press conference yesterday.
He said, but in these times, we all work together. We're all under pressure. We've got to turn it around and make things better. Dean's got to do that starting tomorrow night.
Yeah. It'd be stupid to give him support, though, wouldn't he? And then, you know, you lose 6-0 today, 5-0 against Barnsley, and then he's got to sack him. You know, he's non-committal. And I think he actually, you know, there's lots of things about the interview we could talk about, but I think he'd have been absolutely mad to say, give him the vote of confidence, because ultimately he's probably have to go back on that decision, isn't he?
Yeah. It was a bit like Priti Patel being asked if she had full confidence in Cressida Dick. You know, that was a very good political answer Lansdowne gave to the equivalent question, just sort of saying nothing, and silence says everything sometimes, really, doesn't it? But there we go.
If I was Dean Holden, I'd be very, very worried by that.
Yeah.
By that interview. Yeah.
I think he knows he's in trouble, doesn't he?
Yeah. Mark, your namesake, he came out of it relatively unscathed. We have to be thankful for all the work that Mark Ashton is doing as chief executive and his contacts within the EFL. What's he doing for us there?
Well, I don't want a politician. I want somebody, I'd rather have a director of football that recruits properly and gives us a player to keep us in division or helps us to go forward. From those comments, he's happy to have a politician there, if you want a politician, but appoint somebody with some expertise. I mean, the only thing that...
You could appoint Dave's bloke, Scudamore.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it sounded like, isn't it?
Yeah.
I like him as a politician. He's treated unfairly. He does a lot of hard work. And something else came out. It didn't come out of that interview, but it was in the Evening Post that apparently Ashton suggested three left-back candidates, I think Greg Cunningham, Christian Pedersen, and one other. And the board turned them all down.
Well, who is the board? Who is the board in that context, though?
It was turned down by John Lansdowne.
What, speaking from his Bermuda?
We're from Bermuda.
We know where you live, and we're taking a private jet over there to try and get some answers. Dave and I know exactly where it is.
John Lansdowne is the information that I've had. If the club want to come out and say, no, that's not correct, it was turned down by Steve Lansdowne, Mark Ashton, or whatever, but he put those three names forward. Manning was the other left back.
Oh, Ryan Manning. Is he the QPR player?
He was. Yeah, he's Swansea now.
He put those three names forward and he was rejected. So the Lansdownes
have never said no, Ian. They've never said no. That's what we've been told.
I'm coming round to it, Dave.
And I agree, Ian. And I think the point I was going to say is Steve Lansdowne, he didn't give Dean much of a vote of confidence. I don't think Mark's great with the EFL and the FA. Is a ringing endorsement either, because when he started talking about recruitment, he didn't exactly say, yeah, he's doing a great job there either. And perhaps the Lansdownes have looked at those three players that Mark Ashton's put in front of them and said, actually we're starting to lose a bit of trust in the players you're capable of bringing in. So,
but Dave, let me ask you the question. And again, this is something you've raised on an earlier pod, and we talked about it earlier today. He said no to three fullbacks. Yeah, right. But he then went out and signed a player that realistically we didn't really need, who wasn't fit to play, who all he did was kick a few people, boot the ball into touch a few times a season, this evening. That's not the Henri Lansbury that we thought we were trying to get about 4 years ago. So he sanctioned that guy, who would have been more expensive than certainly the young lad, Manning, that you just said. And he's also said, we offered Famara the best contract we've ever offered to a player, if I heard that correctly. Yet all the players are out of contract. There's no negotiations playing with them. This is an inconsistency, isn't it?
It's a series of contradictions, isn't it? You know, and I think Steve just said on there, Lansdowne's rattled, and I think he was yesterday. He came out. I likened it to being the night watchman on Twitter last night, going out to face the new ball with, you know, a few overs left in bad light to protect Mark Ashton from getting pelters or his son from getting pelters. And I think that's what he did. I thought he was quite careful in what he said in terms of not being too overcommitted on anything. And I'm glad he did. I know people get wound up with the rugby thing. You know, that was kind of a question that came from the interviewer. But he didn't come out with the, well, I stick all the money in, you know, I'll do whatever I want. And I'm glad he didn't
do
that.
Well, he did say, I quote, football's very expensive, it costs a lot of money, and we all know where that comes from.
That's the same as saying that. And Les, and Ian, both of you separately on this one, he said, in Pat Lam, we've got the Pep Guardiola of rugby. And as soon as I heard that, I felt like saying, well, indeed, Holden, we've got the equivalent in rugby of the manager of Old Redcliffians. And sorry to anybody who plays for Old Redcliffians in Bristol. You know,
no,
that,
absolutely.
He made that comment. That was a naff comment to make, wasn't it? Don't you think, Les?
Well, it's a comment.
Let's first, Ian.
Okay.
I just, I don't really see the point of discussing the rugby aspect in this interview yesterday. I think it's all a bit irrelevant, really, and it all comes back to the summer and what really happened that resulted in Dean Holden getting the job. And I'm guessing we're never going to find out. But I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall during those discussions, because I said this in the summer, something must have gone very, very wrong for us to go through a 6-week process and end up with Dean Holden. And unfortunately, we're bearing the fruits of that now.
Ian, what do you think about that comparison he made? It was an insult. Now, as a Bristolian, I'm really pleased to see Bristol Rugby Club doing well. But quite honestly, as a Bristol City fan, I couldn't give a flying about what the rugby club are doing. I've been supporting City for over 50 years, right? And I do not want the owner saying, well, the rugby's got Pep Guardiola in Pat Lam, but you've got Steve, you've got Dean Holden. What did you think of that comment in particular?
We don't want Pep Guardiola. We want a manager whose CV suggests he would do what Steve Lansdowne said he wanted to do when he did his Billy Big Shoes interview with TalkSport.
Yeah.
Take us to the next level.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it looks like he's doing that at the moment, doesn't it?
So if he'd have gone and got Neil Warnock, right? And lots of City fans don't like Warnock. I don't mind the bloke. But whatever you say about him, he's got, what, 8-9 promotions on his CV?
Mm-hmm.
He's taken unfashionable clubs into the Premier League and kept them there on occasions. Now, I think if you said to most City fans, certainly if you said to me, tell you what, you can get promoted to the Premier League and you can stay up there for one season and come down the next. All right? I'd say, yeah, not half. Because in that time, you pick up £200 million and you get £40-odd million in parachute money. And providing you're not a complete clot and you spend it all, then that would put the club in a fantastic, sustainable position.
Yeah.
Because where we are now is completely unsustainable, and we're not going to keep raising £25-30 million worth of players to buy. And we haven't got the contacts to pick up the good players from Liverpool and the good players from Chelsea. We just haven't.
Well, but we thought we had when we got two ex-England youth coaches in. That was one of the things that was put on the table to justify their selection. Simpson yeah, but, and I mean, Downing.
Yeah, I know you mean, but at the end of the day, they are coaches in the same way that Holden and McAllister were coaches to Lee Johnson, and Holden and McAllister didn't get much stick when they were assisting Lee Johnson. So I think I look at it and know that I mean, conflating the rugby with the football is a meaningless, it's a false narrative.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter, basically. If Bristol go on and win the European Challenge Cup or whatever it's called these days and finish top of the Premiership, nobody would be happier than I am.
No.
But it's got absolutely nothing to do with Bristol City. And Bristol City is the thing that binds all of us together. We wouldn't be on this call at the moment if it wasn't for Bristol City. And that's the bit he's got to get right. And saying, well, enjoy the rugby. I know the football's crap, but hey, enjoy the rugby is a bit silly.
Yeah.
And I don't think it was very well thought out. And saying, well, we all know where the money comes from. Well, I think 15 to 16,000 season ticket holders would beg to differ.
Yeah, well, we've said this before, that the percentage of funds that Bristol City fans put in out of their total income is probably not dissimilar to the percentage of his wealth that he puts in. But as he says, he puts in the big bucks on there.
Yeah, he only has to put in the big bucks because the club is financially unsustainable.
Correct.
When Burnley got promoted to the Premier League, they didn't even have an overdraft.
No.
Now, that is what, and since the Americans have bought them, there's a lot of people in Burnley wishing they hadn't, because they've done exactly what the Glazers did at Man United and transferred all the debt from their purchase to the club. Mm. So all of a sudden, Burnley went from being not in debt to being something like 70 to 90 million in debt.
Yeah.
So, you know, be careful what you wish for.
Yeah.
But, I still think that, you know, all this stuff about when I love it. Well, I don't love it. I could scream when Ashton comes out and says, well, you know, when he's been interviewed by Jeff Twentyman, well, you know, Jeff, you know, we're like any other business. No, you're not. You're like a fruit shop and veg shop that eats all the fruit and veg yourself. And then your Uncle Steve comes along at the end of the year and says, well, how much money do you make? So I didn't make any money because I ate it all myself. Well, you didn't sell any. No.
quite like that
no,
shot.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I didn't sell anything. Well, how much? Yeah. Well, so I'm £1 million in debt. So I bought £1 million worth of fruit and vegetables.
And ate it all myself.
Blooming lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mark,
here's £1 million to get you out of trouble. And that's exactly what we're like.
Yeah. Let me bring you in, Mark, on this. I mean, we talk about we need a coach. When Bristol Rugby hired Andy Robinson a few years ago, his credentials for doing the job appeared sound, yeah? And my little involvement that I have with rugby in terms of keeping a passing eye on it, he looked to be an abject failure. And when I checked on Wikipedia today, he's managing the Romanian national side. But getting in a manager with a track record, it isn't always a guarantee of success, is it, Mark? Or do you disagree?
Yeah, well, it isn't with us. No, I mean, known Steve Lansdowne before, talk quite disparagingly at the likes of Neil Warnock. Oh, we wouldn't get a manager like that. But I think it's because they would challenge him and make him, you know, make him a little bit uncomfortable, because they got an edge, because they're, you know, they're winners. Like Ian said, and the Tony Pulis is, although we had him, he's got a very good CV as well with promotions. But those sort of managers make it uncomfortable for the likes of football chairman, and Steve Cottrell did. But they're also winners as well, and they're driven people, and they show that. Their personality shows that, and their players show that, and the way that they give their all on the pitch for them every single week. We haven't got a coach who's able to lift the players to do that, and recruitment hand in hand with that. It just means that, like Ian said, we can't pass sort of tackle our way out of the wet paper bag. And it was typified tonight by Henry Lansbury, who tried to tackle Joao, fouled him, and came off so badly.
Got injured himself. He probably thought he had enough. A couple of people have picked me up, and I wasn't advocating the fact it was a good thing having ex-England coaches. Steve has said on the text, he did say in a pod back in August, don't get impressed by England coaches. And Q83, he said England coaches mean nothing. No, I'm inclined to agree, because I think managing kids under 19 at international level is not like the rigorous demands of championship football. Dave, let's come back to our esteemed Mr. Ashton and recruitment. You know, and Lansdowne was saying he's getting unfair treatment from the fans on here. I mean, I'd accept any sort of treatment, $500,000 a year. And we talk about recruitment and who's been involved. I checked out, we all know Mark Ashton's profile on LinkedIn. Those of us that have looked, he was a director of West Brom for 14 years. Really? But I checked out Mervyn Day, who was our chief scout. Now, Mervyn Day is now chief scout at Rangers. He's been in that post for about a year. But when you look at Mervyn Day's track record as a head of recruitment, after he finished coaching at Charlton Athletic in 2006, he had a four-year stint with us. But every other job he's had, which I think is three of them, it's always been a couple of years. And in my experience in recruitment, it can sometimes take 2 years before you're found out for not being able to perform and not deliver against your objectives. I mean, if they don't change the manager, Dave, the whole recruitment setup needs to be looked at. And you did a very good post, or it might have been Alessandro on OTIB today.
Yeah,
just looking at the financial, and it's probably worthy of a pod all by itself. But it's Ashton isn't all that on recruitment, particularly where you look, where most of his funds, fair chunk, have come from players that were here before he was. Do you say?
Busted flush, I think, sir, the expression, isn't it? I think,
yeah.
You know, or he sold off the family silver and we're now starting to see what he's got left with. You know, I could talk for hours on the recruitment strategy under, first of all, Sean O'Driscoll, who had a different job to do, but brought in Keith Burt. And then Cotterill and Burt have, you know, then, you know, put that magical side together in 14-15. Yeah, we all know the stories about what happened in the summer of 2015, but we were recruiting to a plan. And really, since Ashton's come in, we've started to see lots of transfers. And
68 in total, isn't it? I think.
Yeah, 69 with Henry Lansbury. So, I would say at best it's mixed, it's scattergun, and I think you get that when you don't recruit to a plan. I was chatting to someone earlier on OTIB about the kind of playing philosophy, and I'm not sure if I'm allowed to say this word, but I said at the start of the season 3-5-2. I'm a big fan of 3-5-2. I played in it quite a lot as well, but it's a bastard to recruit to, and it's what I call an all-in formation. You either go for it in that and you've just got to stick with it because it's a really difficult formation to move away from. And that's really where we've left ourselves now. And we did the same under Lee as well in terms of flitting between formations and then not having players to, you know, to fit that formation. I think we've got all the way through the reign, we've had decent players in fairness, but decent players as individuals. You line them up individually and they look all right.
Yeah.
You then try to think, how do they fit into a team? And I've sat there the last couple of weeks and I you know, admittedly some of it exacerbated by not having a natural left back to play, but I really struggled to name what team I might play and, you know, fictitiously what game plan I might put in place. I'm at a loss, I really am.
Yeah,
I've got a little bit of breaking news. Still no sign of Dean Holden out of the dressing room yet for the press conference. Players who were warming down have all been called in.
Yeah, I just seen that come up on our Twitter feed or our ticker feed here on the app. I mean, Guy Majo's just said, do you think if Lansdowne, I don't think he's gonna go. I mean, I'm saying that really hoping that he does. A touch of the old Brer Rabbits. Please don't get rid of the magic. He's not going to go. And then he does. But he said that Lansdowne's due to make a statement appointment of a manager. And somebody else has said, yeah, he's probably foaming, salivating at the prospect of maybe having Frank Lampard down here. I mean, Les, on the basis that the manager does go, do you think it will be a statement manager?
Someone's just said he's a goner. I don't know if he has gone. Sorry to interrupt.
Well, let's keep an eye on what's being said. If somebody's got a radio in the background, take it into another room. Keep listening. But Les, do you think that he'll make a statement managerial appointment, or do you think it'll be caretaking till the end of the season?
Well, firstly, I think it's important to say I've never seen like the fan base, the local press,
the Sky commentators seemingly absolutely united that everything has been dire for the last month. Usually there's a degree of, you know, disagreement. People sit on the fence, especially in the press. But Gregor absolutely ripped into him in the week. And yeah. the Sky commentator's mm-hmm. been ripping into him for a week. So it'll be interesting to see where that goes and that speeds the process up. But in terms of management, we just don't know, do we? I mean, I said in the summer, Paul Cook would be a great candidate. Yeah. Will he go for a stand-up manager? Would he get Frank Lampard? I don't think Frank Lampard would come to Bristol City.
No.
I don't think
I wouldn't particularly want him, to be honest.
No.
Because I think...
No. What do we mean, Dave, by like a big name? For me, a big name at this level is a Paul Cook, is a Nigel Pearson.
That's a name, isn't it?
Is an Atkins, you know?
Yeah, or yeah, he's gone now, but Mick McCarthy certainly seems to be doing the business for Cardiff now, doesn't he? Yeah, because they've been on a winning spin since they beat us, and they'd started it even before. I mean, Ian, do you think statement manager, if he does go next time?
Well, what I want to see, and I don't really know what a statement manager is. If you say a big name
Coppell,
manager...
Steve Coppell was a statement manager, wasn't he?
Yeah, and we all know how that turned out. No, I mean, for me, you want someone who's got promotions on their CV. And, okay, you could say, well, do they have to be championship promotions? Preferably, so you're looking at a Pearson, you're looking at someone that's managing the Premier League that's got contacts, that knows where good players are. You're looking at an Eddie Howe that you could sell a project to, and it really would be a project. You know, we've got a good academy system, fantastic training ground, three quarters of a stadium, and the quarter that's not new isn't bad. So, you know, the guy was at Bournemouth for years when they were getting crowds of 10,500. So you could say, well, look, you know, all being well, you could fill this 27,000. And by the way, get us in the Premier League and we'll build another 7,000-seater stadium that end. So I can see it being a good sell to somebody. It's not like trying to sell a Downs League club. No. The other thing that I can see is when we talk about sales, and we can discuss this later if you want or now.
Yeah, then do it in a minute because I want to bring that up as our final topic when we go there. Yep.
All right, okay, but it's one thing, Mark. You could imagine Mark Ashton doing is selling somebody like Eddie Howe a project. You know, look at this training ground. Look at this ground. Look at it. We got this multi-billionaire owner. We've got. So
What about the fact that he's widely tipped to be the next Celtic manager?
Well, Neil Lennon's got to get the sack first. So is he going to depend on that? Does he want to go to Scotland? Because the last time he moved from Bournemouth, he went to Burnley and he was back there about 5 minutes.
He hated it, didn't he? Yeah.
You know, his family lives in Bournemouth. He's very happy. Bournemouth's not 5 million miles from Bristol. So
and one of his parents passed away while he was up at Burnley. I think that might coincide with it or you know, a family member, I'm pretty sure, passed away while he was up there as well, which didn't help.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. For all I know, his wife's Scottish and she might want to go and live in Glasgow. But Neil Lennon has to get the sack first. And he's just won 4 or 5 on the trot. Yeah. So I don't think he's necessarily going to get the sack. And what you've got to do in this industry, depending on how Bournemouth are paying him off, and I think they probably paid him off when he was out of contract, you've got to strike while the iron's hot. And a bird in the hand's worth 10 in the bush, because somebody might get the sack, then again, they might not. And away you go. But we have to bring in somebody with success, with a CV that you look at and you go, oh, blimey, this bloke's good. He's got 8 or 10, he's played in the Premier League. Oh, look at the clubs he's got in the Premier League.
Mm.
You know, look at who did Warnock get in there? Sheffield United in Cardiff?
Yeah. Yeah. Dave, let me ask you, they're not bigger than City. No, they're not. They're not. And look at, I think there's 50 clubs have been in the Premier League now since it was established. And we should be, at least, even if we were there for one season, it would be an achievement. I mean, Dave, everything that Ian said there, somebody's got a track record, and he hasn't gone yet. Somebody said he has on some Twitter person. Just saw that come up on the feed here. But one man that fits that bill is Jovanovic, isn't it, who took Fulham up. I mean, would he be a better choice than Paul Cook, who would get the nod for most people after the latest debacle? But what do you think, Jovanovic, as an option?
I, I think he's the caliber of manager you want. Where is he at the moment, in Saudi or somewhere like that, managing or Qatar? I don't know the financial side of it. I think, you know, a manager of that caliber would be very good, in my opinion. I really like Paul Cook. I think he, in terms of where we are, perhaps financially as well, or, you know, not, and I'm not referring back to Wigan here, I think one of those players managers who's used to working on a budget, good at polishing rough diamonds, getting you know, young players in that, you know, probably play above themselves.
Sorry to interrupt, Dave. There's a guy who's a journalist, or says he is, on Twitter. He's got 3,800 followers.
He's
saying
a retweeter. He might well have been sacked, but he's not a journalist. I've seen him loads of times.
Right, somebody's just put up, Folks 23 has just said, Bristol City, Dean Holden has been sacked after a run of poor results and losing the dressing room. I don't believe any of that until we actually have it officially.
Andy Dern will be on it, or someone like that, first of all, won't they? He's normally pretty good if something is happening tonight.
Yeah.
It'd be on the BBC Sport Twitter feed rather than Dern or Radio Bristol.
Something sounds a little bit more genuine. Gary Hours on Radio Bristol just said Holden came to the technical area and called in all staff and players quickly. They're saying here they reckon he might have resigned.
Right.
Or left by mutual consent, probably.
But Gary Hours, I mean, he hasn't said he's resigned. He's just basically said that's what happened. And he's down at the ground. So I'd believe what he said, to be perfectly honest.
Well, I think by the amount of time we got left going, you know, we'll know something one way or another. Another name, Taze has put up there, his shortlist, Pearson, Cook, Howe, Bilic, Hughes, Wagner. Now, I wouldn't particularly want Mark Hughes here myself. Anybody agree with that? Anybody think he'd be a good choice? Mark Hughes? Yes? No?
I'm not saying I want him, but I think he did reasonable jobs at most of the clubs he's been at. I don't think he's a crap manager. I think he did a good job at Wales as well, but I don't see us getting anyone like that anyway, if I'm being perfectly honest.
Yeah,
I like the idea of something like Nigel Pearson.
Michelle Owen is tweeting something similar as well. The Sky girl that's down there, she's tweeting something similar as well. So.
Oh, she just picked her pancakes up off the floor.
Yeah, talk about pancakes.
I beg your pardon.
I had two absolutely amazing pancakes this evening at halftime, which were a nice light mixture, courtesy of Delia Smith. I didn't make them. Mel made them for me with the cream and golden syrup. Absolutely, absolutely amazing, that is, of course. But
we've gone from talking about tossers to pancakes, haven't we?
I had another bit of news I've just heard as well. So we were talking about recruitment earlier, and we were, I think, did Mervyn Day's name get mentioned?
Yes, I mentioned.
Yes.
Yeah. But there was also a guy that followed him. He was Lee Johnson's cousin, Adam Griffin. He left fairly recently too, but within kind of like the last week I'm here. So.
Yeah. So there's going to be changes there. There's going to be changes there, isn't there? I think on the recruitment side, somebody's put the taxi driver. That's not fake taxi or anything like that. He hasn't appeared on. He hasn't appeared. Although most of you like me, did you see the control panel? We did have somebody that wanted to join the debate. Yes, and it was talk about that off air, but it was quite interesting. I almost let them into the room,
I like the comment that said Dave Fevs want to rebuild the club by Excel.
At least he'd be able to add up. We got people down there that can.
Yeah, go on,
Dave. You're in. Get your dust off that suit and get it down.
Yeah, I'll recruit a manager for them. I'd do it for nothing. I really would do that just for the prestige. But there we go. I mean, look, Ian did a very good little email that he showed me, and I meant to have it in front of me here at the moment, but I haven't. And it was a list of all the players that are out of. In contract, and who we've got come the 30th of June. That's when all the players' contracts run out. And as we said in an earlier pod, none of the players are out of contract. There appear to be any negotiations going to keep them, other than FAM. And I think that ship has passed now anyway. Ian and I talked today about the notion that is Lansdowne. I don't think it would happen, but again, it's one of these wish, it'd be interesting if it did. Is Lansdowne clearing the decks such that he could sell the football club as an entity that rents the stadium? Rents the stadium.
Can I just butt in there? Michelle Owen has just tweeted, looking like Dean Holden may have been relieved of his duties, awaiting official word, but no one has appeared for post-match. I mean, that could be just speculative, but I just thought I'd mention it.
Tom Rolls put that on there as well. But getting back to the point, and you back up what I'm saying here, Ian, or explain your reasons why it didn't sound so daft, that Lansdowne could be clearing the decks for somebody to come in and do, right, you haven't got to worry about infrastructure or anything, but you need to just put money into taking the club and the prizes, getting them into the Premier League, and you know, we'll charge you a rental for the ground, and if we get to the Premier League, that'll go up. And Steve Lansdowne can literally say, I can't achieve what I want with football. I've chucked money at it. I can't chuck any more. I still want to keep the Bristol Sport model going. But, you know, the football club, I'm pandering to all those people that said, let it be run by football people or people with a different mindset. Ian, expand on that, because it's not such a harebrained idea, really, is it? When you look at the way things are being cleared.
If we look at the two things, we will have at the end of this, from June the 1st this year, we will have 15 players under contract to the football club. This is assuming all the players that are out of contract are not retained. Okay. Those 15 include three goalkeepers. So that leaves you with 12 outfield players. Yep. Now, why would you do that? And my view is the only reason to do it is if you were clearing the decks. Now, that list doesn't include any of the younger players, so the under 21s who have played for the first team. So
Semenyo, Masengo,
Backinson, So that Towler. So it doesn't include those. We've got 25 in the under 21 squad, and we've currently got 25 in the first team.
Yeah.
So, but that's with all those players going. Now, if all those players are out of contract, somebody can come in and say, okay, similar to what Fosun did at Wolves, which was slightly different because they owned the ground. They bought the lock, stock, and barrel from Sir Jack Hayward, but they came in, said, we've got a load of money, but we know 3/5 of 5/8 of F all about football. So what we'll do, we'll set up with Jorge Mendes, who's a super agent, and we'll bring in a sporting director and a CEO who really do know their onions. Within 6 weeks, there were 14 top flight Portuguese international players at Wolves, and the rest, as they the rest, as they say, is history. So that is but the form on this is a guy called Ron Nodes, who owned at one time Brentford, another time Crystal Palace, and he sold both football clubs but retained ownership of the ground.
Yep.
And I think looking at what Steve's done, he spent millions on infrastructure. So he could say, right, I'll rent you the ground for, I don't know, I'm making numbers up now, $1 million, $2 million a year. I'll rent you the football training ground for 250 grand a year. Here's the club. I'll give you it for nothing because it's losing money. There you go. You've got it. It's yours now. You've got to put the money in to take the club up to the Premier League. So and at that point, his investment in infrastructure isn't at risk. Now, if somebody says, oh, well, you say that's going to... No, I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm saying it's a possibility, and it would explain a lot of what's going on down there, from the players' contracts running down to...
And maybe the players' attitude to Holden,
the players wouldn't know. Holden not getting... Holden getting the job rather than another, you know, a more senior manager, so Chris Hughton, somebody like that. So it explains a lot of that, the thinking behind, you know, a six-week process, and the best bloke, well, where was he? Well, he was, funny enough, he was in the office next door to Lee.
Yeah.
So that would explain a lot. So if I had an opportunity to ask Steve, I would say, Steve, is the club going to go up for sale, sir? If he said, don't be so stupid, no, it's not, I'm not going to sell the club and that's it, I'll never mention it again.
Yep.
Okay, so I'm not saying I know.
No, you don't know. I'm not saying I know. We're just speculating.
I'm just saying, what if?
Some justification. I'll come to you first, Dave, then Les.
Just
then,
one more thing.
Because I think there is going to be some breaking news on here, reading between the lines. Somebody check Twitter. I've got it open at the moment. But Dave, let me ask you that question. Do you think there could be some substance to what Ian is saying, just circumstantial? Because you also said to me Lansdowne was doing some adjusting on the finances as well, wasn't he, with loans and conversions and whatever.
I think that's probably what Ian maybe kind of triggered Ian's thoughts a couple of weeks ago when the accounts came out, when he converted some of the loan, didn't he, about 50 million
he paid off on Sky. He's just saying Bristol City have sacked manager Dean Holden following their defeat at Reading.
Greg has announced it as well.
Sorry, Ian, go on. I think that was your thoughts, wasn't
it? Buddy.
He paid off the mortgage to Citibank. He's gone. He's definitely gone.
So I think there is some, you know, he might just be gearing up that possibility.
Yeah.
I don't know how quickly, I don't know with what guys or whatever. I still can't quite get my head around how a, you know, inverted commas franchise model might work with at this point in time when you've got, you know, limited revenues and huge outgoings.
Yeah, because the numbers, the finances, as we said, we could devote a whole pod to that. But, you know, maybe it's one of those things that if we weren't in lockdown, we could have anybody who listens to Forever Bristol City podcast have a pub meeting with a flip chart and show it all up there. And that'd be a bit of a crack. Maybe we can do that anyway in the fullness of time. Well, look, it is official. He's gone. Jeff C says put Tins in temporary charge. If he's gone, I hope that you don't wish anybody out of a job, but I hope Downing and Simpson have gone as well, because I don't think they've helped him. But let me come to you first, Mark, because you've been quiet while we've been chuntering on about other stuff. Inevitable, it's happened. What are your initial thoughts?
I mean, I feel sorry for the guy. I'm sure he's tried his hardest, but you know, he was undoubtedly out of his depth. And when after the first few games, when we played, you know, okay sides, it was always going to be how difficult, you know, how he faced up to adversity, and that with the injuries, he just hasn't been able to put a side out on the pitch that can compete recently, and that's the problem. If your players can't tackle and pass the ball to a mate and show any movement, create chances, you're always going to be in trouble. So, yeah, I feel sorry for Dean. Good luck in whatever you do in the future. And I wish the new manager the best of luck. And let's hope. I mean, I think you said at the top of the show, maybe Mark Ashton's out. I mean, if you think that if they got rid of him tonight, that they have got somebody in mind, there are some good candidates out there. I hope somebody like a Nigel Pearson or a Paul Cutt would do for
me. Well, somebody here, Red supporter, he's just chipped in and said Dean Holden sat in the dugout on the phone. I think he's got images of Brian Tinian. No media interviews this evening as the club is set to make an announcement. I don't know whether the official announcement has come out. Paul Simpson set to be named caretaker manager. Keith Downing gone with Dean Holden. I mean, Les, it's official that he's gone. Your thoughts and Paul Simpson to caretaker. What's going to change? Yeah, how can they, you know, if they suddenly put in a performance against high-flying Barnsley, then you've got to say the players cost him his job. Is that unfair?
I think it is unfair. When Lee Johnson got sacked, I was absolutely delighted. And then when I heard Holden got the job, I was absolutely gobsmacked. I could not believe it. And unfortunately, that was the same viewpoint with the majority of City fans, and we've all been proved absolutely right. He's a lovely bloke. He's a nice chap. As I've said in the past, he would never have got another Championship job. He would not have got a League One job. So he was well out of his depth. As for Simpson, they need someone for the next week, the next two weeks, however long it'll be.
That's
so
what I've it is, isn't it, Les?
I've got, that's exactly it. They need to have someone there just to keep a hold of just to lead the team for a couple of weeks. So I've got absolutely no problem with that at all. I think he'll probably go when the new manager comes in. The fact that Downing's gone is interesting, because they gave him a 2.5-year deal, and I think they had a vision for the long term, which tells me that maybe that if they do bring a new manager in, he'll be able to bring his own coaching staff with him, which is something that hasn't always happened with us. So that would be, I think, a real positive. But no, really pleased. Good bloke. Nice guy. Completely out of his depth. So thank you to Mr.
Les. Where did the 2.5-year deal for Downing come? I haven't been able to find that anywhere. Someone else mentioned that the other week, and I haven't seen it.
Well, I'm only going by what other people have said, so I could be wrong.
Fine, that's okay.
So if I am, then yeah, that's
I would think it would be bizarre to offer a head coach a 12-month rolling contract, subject to what the rolling contract is. We've all had that debate on previous pods. And then offer your coaching staff longer.
I thought the same. I thought exactly the same thing. I could be completely wrong.
It's funny, Dave. I read that article that you pointed me at. You know, the guy was talking about rolling contracts.
Yeah.
Basically, it can mean anything, can't it? This guy must have cited absolutely at least six different meanings of a rolling contract. I think
Lansdowne's got enough money, because I think the acceptance is that, you know, because you can be on a contract, but somebody can pay you for your services rendered. You're a victim of circumstance. And I think Holden should never have got the job in the first place. And he's probably on half what Lee Johnson was on, I would imagine. Probably less than half what Mark Ashton was on. And Steve Lansdowne, he can say, Dean, is he his salary mate, you know, or his 100 grand in cash, thanks, and sorry it didn't work out. And I think that's the sort of man, generous man, that Lansdowne would be. It really is a case of what he does do now, because, Dave, I'll ask you the question. That's happened. I'm guessing Ashton delivered the news. Is Ashton safe, or do you think if they go for a caretaker between now and the end of the season, because there's still all this COVID uncertainty with no guarantee of when season tickets going to come on sale? Nobody's going to buy season tickets, early bird offers, if Paul Simpson's there for the next 3 months, are they? But what do you think, Dave? Let's have your view on him going. Who might replace him, and is Ashton safe?
I don't think he got a vote of confidence from Steve Lansdowne last night either. I think, as I probably said at the start of the show, to focus on what he does with the EFL is a bit of makes a mockery of £540,000 salary a year. You know, you could get someone else in who can schmooze people better than Mark Ashton, a lot cheaper, I would have thought. So I think he's on thin ice. Whether it'll happen this season, I think it might depend on maybe who he appoints next and whether they can make a bit of a, you know, a flying start. Otherwise, I think his credentials are in a bit of a disarray, to be honest. In terms of a next appointment, if was that your question? Sorry.
Yeah, and that as well.
I really like Paul Cook. You know, in some respects, you might say, you know, is that not looking high enough? And you could argue that if you could get a real quality manager, and don't necessarily ask me to, you know, name them at the moment off the top of my head, but, you know, someone who's been in the Premier League, let's throw a name out there just as a stupid name who's not available. Someone like, if you could get someone of, say, David Moyes' caliber, someone like that.
I couldn't hear you, Dave.
David Moyes.
Yeah. But he's doing a fantastic
job. But if you could get someone of, you know, proven Premier League manager, I don't think we will, then great. But otherwise, look at someone who's working with a tight-knit group of players, can do it on a budget, got a good eye for talent, and then you can dispense with Mark Ashton, because he'll know much more about how to talent ID than Mark Ashton ever will.
Well, are you going?
Was Ashton also responsible for bringing Andy Rolls in as well? Who's
Yes, he was.
He's got that to contend with as well, hasn't he, Ashton? Not just the player recruitment, but also Mr. Rolls. You know.
I think the thing is, it's working under Ashton with all the power that he's got. And I was chatting to my friend Dave, the Brentford fan, and somebody independently put this on the OTIB today, that Brentford have got a chief executive, a guy called John Varney. And if you look at him, he's got that high-profile corporate persona that was why I was advocating Richard Scudamore as like a part-time executive.
Les mentioned him last cast.
They have two directors of football looking at different aspects. One, I think, is talent acquisition, and one is contract. So they have a chief exec, but he is not over totally hands-on, because Ashton is head of everything in that respect. And is it his brother, his son-in-law or brother-in-law, who's the head of football operations? So he's really got a cabal of people around him. And if it does end up being Michael Appleton, then the Lansdownes really have been sold down a river, or sold for his everything he's got to say. What do you say, Ian, to that? You know, the Brentford model is the one that we should follow in every respect.
Well, I... If it's all about people, isn't it? It's all about employing the right people. And I don't, yeah. I don't think, I haven't seen anything in Mark Ashton that makes me think he's the right fellow. I certainly wouldn't want Michael Appleton anywhere near the club. Might be a decent coach, but I want somebody with the experience and the promotions on his CV. And I don't want another good human being, another nice fellow, another bloke who's a brilliant coach, but can't get the players playing. I want a somebody. Well, so I want a Howe, I want a Pearson, I want a Warnock. You're not going to get, I mean, we had David Moyes lined up once and we absolutely, well, shat on him, not to put too fine a point on it. So I don't think he'd come near the place anyway. But
no, well, I think
it's wrong even to use his name, because he's in a job and he's doing a pretty damn good job with West Ham by the look of it. So, but when you say somebody like him, I mean, let's assume because he's always walking a tightrope. Let's assume in the next 6 weeks, Newcastle fall under a bit of a spell and their knee-jerk reaction. Would we go for a Steve Bruce if he suddenly got made redundant? No, said you, no. Mark. Yeah,
unless I would.
Well, no. Yesterday's
not,
man.
Not for me.
No. Okay.
I think there is talent out there that is already available, and I think, like Dave said, you want to go for the big beast. The big beast probably is Eddie Howe. Will we get him? Very unlikely. Then you've got to look at the best of the rest. That's when your Pearsons, that's where your Cooks come in. I'll tell you now, I would much rather have someone with quite a lot of experience in this division in the last few years than someone who's plied their trade in the Premier League for a substantial amount of time and perhaps hasn't been in the Championship for a short, well, for an extended period of time.
Pearson fits that bill then. So if you're Steve Lansdowne, I mean, would Pearson get in front of Steve Lansdowne? Because Ashton would be like a turkey voting for Christmas, advocating somebody like Pearson, wouldn't he? Yeah. And if you're Lansdowne and Pearson says, look, I really like the setup here, I'll buy into it. I'm going to curb my wicked ways and what have you, and I'm going to be a good boy. But Ashton's got to go. Yeah, then what do you do then if any manager of repute says, I'm only coming on these terms? What do you do then? Mark, what do you do? Does he throw Ashton to the wolves, or does he say, well, sorry, and we end up ending up with another underwhelming appointment? Somebody was advocating that guy Lowe at Plymouth, who's made a reasonable fist of stuff, plays 3-5-2. Yeah, what do you say, Mark?
I mean, he'd be stupid to say no, you know, if you've got somebody, you know, like a Nigel Pearson. But I don't think, with the structure, you know, I don't think I think Chris Hughton would have been appointed, or Paul Cook the first time, you know, back in the summer. Why did it take 6 weeks? Because the people that they tried to recruit obviously didn't want to work within the structure, or they said no to them. Which was crazy, really. So we're just back. We're back to square one in a way, because Mark Ashton's still chief executive, and we've got a vacancy. Have we got a vacancy for head coach? Which who's going to blink first? In terms of recruitment, City have done okay appointing managers under pressure. When they appointed Gary Johnson, when we had a terrible start in 2005-2006, and likewise with Steve Cottrell, he's probably doing a better job from his sick bed than we've done in the last few weeks. I mean, he's speaking to his coaches during games. I mean, it's unbelievable what I was reading today about him putting his health on the line for the sake of the team. But we want somebody who's going to come in who's completely driven, and that's your Paul Cook or Nigel Pearson, and the players are a reflection of the manager. They go out there and put their bodies on the line for him every single game and get every ounce out of them. They're not doing that at the moment.
Somebody's put on here, Red Supporter is another. Somebody's Red Supporter said, set up a GoFundMe page should be set up so we can pay off to get him out of the club. I think that's a good one, Red Supporter, with your 44 likes on there. I mean, guys, we've gone over. We try and keep it to an hour or thereabouts.
We should, Dave, if there's good conversation to go.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, exactly. I'm happy to keep.
You can always edit the bits out. And I mean,
I'll leave it.
We'll edit you out, Ian, can't we? That's
so. Yeah, I mean, you repeat
it. I'm all for that.
when you came, all the stuff that you mentioned, Ian, we covered that in the first 5 minutes where you were off doing your Gary Lineker on another channel or what have you.
I dropped out because I thought I'd be loyal to this station, you see.
There at the end. How are you, Ian? Well, I think I described this as the end of an era.
The end of an era, yeah. No, that's a good one. Some Capello said, "Keep it going, lads, until we get an appointment with the next man."
Has anybody seen the comment from Tomo on the messaging? I was sat in front of a Middlesbrough scout.
I saw it, and then it disappeared because
for Warnock this evening. He had also watched us at Watford. He admitted that he's struggling to report any quality for Neil to worry about. He also said fam interest was 100% correct and he wouldn't be surprised seeing him go to Borough in the summer. So this is Tomo was in the ground. Is that sound right?
Yeah, Tomo has been doing stuff for some sports agency or something. So, somebody's brought in about...
That must be the easiest dossier he's ever written. You know, he wouldn't have filled two lines of A4, would he? I mean,
two words. Exactly. They're crap.
Yeah.
Well, look, we are where we are. This is like when I used to do my stuff on GWR back in the '80s and nineties, and you're doing your report, and then a goal goes in. You know, and this is breaking news as we do it. We've actually had a managerial sacking while we've been on air. I mean, do you think he was sacked or do you think he resigned?
Manager resigns, do they? They leave by mutual consent.
He was sacked.
Which is a sacking.
Red Robin said, sacked.
Once he'd agreed his payoff, you're not going to resign because, you know, if you quit your job, you don't get paid off. And if he's on, if the rolling contract is what we thought and that he's, you know, continually got a year's notice, then he's going to go off with 250 grand in his bin, isn't he?
Well, so, I mean, saying that, but if he's on a contract that was only a year and it's only got 4 months to run, that's what I'm saying. Lansdowne, you know, he's got enough money that he could say, "You've done the honourable thing, Dean, and I respect you for resigning. Look, I should really only pay you 3 months of the balance of your contract, but I'm just going to bung you 150 grand. Yeah, and we'll sort out the tax for you." And he could do that because that sort of money is like petty cash to him. Yeah, and
the funny thing is now there's going to be a meeting in the smoky rooms of Ashton Gate, and Steve's going to say, "Mark, now who is that candidate who's going to take us to the next level?" And he's going to say, "Well, I know a bloke called Michael at Lincoln."
You know,
I'd give him a bell.
I don't think Appleton would come at the moment. I don't think if it was him the job, he'd take it because they're top of the league. They've got games in hand. I would be very surprised if he'd been that off for us at this point in time.
Yeah. And Taylor Moore's played there as well. He played under Appleton, didn't he? You know, he will know what he's like.
Well, he might come, but then, you know, if you're to the powers that be, listen to what we've got to say. I don't mean us on the podcast. I mean on OTIB and the ridicule that we would get if Appleton did come and then didn't show any improvement. We'd be looking for another manager before the end of September, wouldn't we?
I just thought of another manager who's available at the moment who sounds good on TV, good tactically. His career is stalled. But what about Mr. Cowley?
Tree
Lincoln, Huddersfield.
Somebody's tried to get into the live studio. Somebody very famous. It's Bill Roach, aka Ken Barlow. So we're going to let him in, right?
He's been trying to get in there all night. I said, right, Chuck him out.
Did you? Yeah?
Yeah.
Should we let him in? Just say one thing?
No.
No. No. All right. Disconnect. There you go. Bye.
He's a bit
he's like Graham Horton, the red chair, that was.
He's a bit like fake taxi, I think.
All right. He's probably Mark Ashton's handle, that is. Ken Barlow.
So was Mike Ashton the Iranian guy the other week then as well?
It could well have been. Yeah,
he's not.
Well,
I mean, these sort of things, Cowley and Appleton. I mean, really, is that the level we're going to now?
I'm just suggesting names.
Yeah, it has been announced on Twitter. by the way, somebody just said on City's official Twitter page. Has anybody got an official announcement there that they can read?
It's announced on the
Oh, here we go. Quoted it. Somebody's quoted the Bristol City, after the sixth successive defeat, the Bristol City board have decided the change of head coach is necessary. Assistant head coaches Paul Simpson and Keith Downing will take charge of training until further notice. The club would like to thank Dean for his service to the club over the years and wish him well for the future. There will be no further comment at this stage.
Yeah, we'd like to thank Dean for his
Beaver moment. Read the standing orders!
I'd keep that. I'd my advice to them would be to keep hold of that template because they might need it again.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, we'd like to thank Dean, but he kept setting the team increasingly low standards. He found it very difficult to reach.
Yeah.
Well, it actually says they'll take. It also says here, interestingly, that assistant head coaches Simpson and Downing will take charge of training until further notice. So yeah. It doesn't say that, you know, maybe they'll be in charge of the team.
Doesn't say
team
they're caretakers, does it? It doesn't say they're caretakers until further notice, which applies, well, judging on the past record, they'll be in charge for 6 weeks then or something like that. Yeah, but
Can I ask you a question, Dave? Can I ask a question that some
Which
of
one,
you
Dave
might
Dave or Dave?
Or
Dave.
All of you.
All right.
Because you'll know the answer better than I will. When we got rid of O'Driscoll, how long did it take before Cottrell came in? And when we got rid of Cottrell, how long did it take before Johnson came in?
Well, 2 or 3 days, I would imagine. Yeah.
I guess on Cottrell, when Cottrell was sacked, it took 2 days for Mark Ashton to be officially announced. If that's a
yeah, he brought Pemberton in. He brought Pemberton in, and he won his first game against Borough, didn't he? With Wes,
a couple of that's right. No, you're right. You're right. 2.5 weeks before Johnson got appointed. I think it was Cottrell went on the 14th of January. Ashton came in on the 16th of January, and I think Johnson was appointed on the 6th of February, if my memory is correct.
Yeah, and I'm guessing one of the quickest he ever did was when Tinian took over from Danny Wilson. Yeah, because that was fairly quick, wasn't it? I think.
Yeah, it was 2 or 3 days after the playoff defeat to Brighton, wasn't it?
If you look at our performance, though, in case anybody's saying, well, I think, you know, some people have said on Twitter, I think it's a bit harsh. Before tonight's game, in current form league, we were 23rd, having lost 5 from 6. That's now 6 from 7. Clean sheets, we were 22nd in the league with only 7. Yep. Goals scored, we were 15th. And we've conceded the 5th highest number of goals.
Yeah.
In the home table, we were 10th. And in the away table, because as people would say, we always play far better away, we were actually 17th.
So we'd slip right down. That's on the back of 5 straight defeats away from home, isn't it?
And we were ninth in the failed to score table. So only 8 teams have failed to score on more occasions than us.
Yeah.
So it's a pretty sad indictment of a team.
I wonder what his win percentage is, though, because he drew so many matches. I bet his win percentage is still a very acceptable over 40. Because if you look at most managers,
it's just so loud. I need to get
to
bed.
Mark. Get a bed then.
Get a bed. There we go.
Get a bed then. It's over 40%. I mean, basically, he'll finish up about the same as Lee Johnson did, but over more games.
Yeah. Yeah. So he has. He's got a 40% plus and still only 7 points off the playoffs, as Red Robbo has said there. But
might as well be 70.
Yeah, no, there we go. Relieved of duties with immediate effect. Rigorous and vigorous. That's the words we're looking for this time out, isn't it? Yeah.
Not this time of night.
Not that time of night. It is getting late, chaps. I mean, I don't think we're going to have, if there is a managerial announcement before Saturday's game against Barnsley, obviously we'll have a little chat about that. I think this has been an interesting debate at the end of a very disappointing evening on the pitch, but. More new beginnings again, yes, because you know the with Holden was a continuum of Lee Johnson, really. So as Dave or Les may have said, you know, it's a chance maybe to change some of the backroom staff so there's nobody there with any past connections at the club. I think the players have got a lot to answer for with some of their performances. I'd like to see Callas come across as more of a captain than he has done. But any parting words from each of you in turn? Come to you first, Mark, because you're getting the summons to bed, if you're still with us. Mark, your hopes for the next 5 days at Bristol City, that takes us beyond Barnsley. What are you hoping to see?
Well, I mean, I hope they bring in an experienced manager, you know, the caliber that we're looking for, sooner rather than later. But if we got to, you know, if it's got to be Simpson and Downing this Saturday, I just hope that they can lift the players, you know, get them into a shape where we offer something, you know, in attack. And, yeah. You know, we could put some tackles in and the players actually, you know, represent Bristol City in the way that they should and do the basics.
We just want a performance against Barnsley.
And Barnsley have improved, haven't they? I mean, they've been
they
burnt
no,
for
it's
too
not
long,
easy.
Sunday.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's absolutely right. Les, some of the text coming through there. Les, what are your hopes for the next five? What are your hopes for the next 5 days?
I'd like to see Simpson and Dowling relieved of their duties. Either Eddie Howe or Paul Cook come in and they're allowed to bring in their backroom staff. So we have a real refreshing of the coaching unit with some real proven quality. And I hope that it's not going to be one of the Cowley brothers. I think there's a really good chance it may be because they do fit the mould that we usually go for. But no, I'd like to see, obviously, go for Eddie Howe, can't get him, go for Paul Cook and let him bring his backroom staff in. That's what I'd like to see.
Yeah, and Dave, your hopes for the next 5 days to pass post Barnsley?
I guess just a kind of word to say, you know, I do feel for Dean tonight, you know. Ultimately, you know, no problem with the decision, but and I know it's going to sound a bit crap, but he is a decent bloke, probably wrong type of job for him, and I hope he gets back into football as soon as possible.
Yeah, and finally, Ian, your hopes for the next 5 days.
I hope we bring in a successful manager who's obtained multiple promotions, knows the Championship, and knows the Premier League as well. And somebody that's going to increase the profile of our club. But, I mean, you talk about organisation. Just as you asked me the question, they were showing the goals back on Sky. I don't know if it was Ray Charles or Stevie Wonder that lined that wall up for the free kick. But there were two of them stood there. They couldn't have been further out the way of where the ball was likely to go if they'd have been stood on the corner flag. And the second one, the guy's played a 1-2, the ball's at his foot, he's gone in, Callas or whoever is tackled him with all the force that my wife would have put into a tackle.
Yeah.
And he's come through that and he's kicked it onto Bentley, it's gone back onto him and looped up into the net. So, yeah. But if you don't set up right and if you're not organised, you've got no chance. And I'm sorry, but if you've got coaches down there and that's the best that they can produce, then it just really isn't good enough. And he should have gone weeks ago. So hopefully now we can get the 11 points we need to survive from the...
Which I think we will. I think we'll do that.
From the 48 available. Well, depending on who the manager is, we may not. I think we're that far gone. I saw a side tonight that was mentally and physically gone. However, we will have 8 players back. According to what I heard from Dean Holden and whoever, when they were talking about injuries, we will have 8 players back in March.
Yeah.
So let's hope that's
by
true.
By March, we could have a quarter of the season. We probably got a third of the season left now. By March, we could have a quarter of the season to properly assess and make a go for it next season. How many times have we heard that? I feel sorry for Dean because I think he is a nice human. Everything about him, he conducts himself very well. I think it was a massive case of over promotion. Tim Rolls put on there his wish is to see Mark Ashton sat on the far side of the pitch on the phone a la Brian Tinian, Liberty Stadium, September 2005. That's the one thing, you know, I don't think that will happen. I think he'll live to fight another day. But tonight, guys, been a great listen. Everybody who's contributed, another good almost, I think it probably was a record audience. I haven't checked.
Over 100, Dave, at one point.
Yeah, 100 in the room at one time and about 170, 160 different listeners. So people don't listen the whole time. So I'm really pleased with that. Thanks
don't
for
blame
your
them.
Contribution. We'll be doing a pod on Saturday, but if anything significant breaks before then, we'll feed one in. So I say night-night to Les, to Mark, to Ian, and Dave, thanks for your contribution. Thanks to everybody who's made a little text message contribution as well. And bye-bye, Dean Holton, Holden. And let's see Kanye's name right.
You've forgotten him already.
Forgotten him already. Let's see what the future brings. Good night, everybody. All the best.
Right, good night.
Cheers.
Good night, Dave.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Bye.